Hello and welcome to God in Our City, a weekly Christ-centered program highlighting what the great God of the universe is doing here in our city. Your host is Pastor Dave Watson. Pastor Dave has been the pastor of Calvary Chapel for over 26 years. He's also the founder and president of the New York Institute for Biblical Studies. We now go live to the sanctuary of Calvary Chapel as Pastor Dave shares with us here on God in Our City.
Your name on high.
Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us.
You came from heaven to earth to show.
Lord, I lift your name.
Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us.
You came from heaven to earth to show.
Sing it again, Lord, I lift your name on high.
Lord, I lift your name on high.
Lord, I love to sing.
Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us.
You came from heaven to earth to show.
From heaven to earth. Great singing this morning. If you're just joining us by radio, welcome to Calvary Chapel. We're glad that you have tuned in. So I'm going to give everybody permission today in just a moment to use your cell phone. So, you know, you really shouldn't use your cell phone in church. But I'm going to give everybody permission to use your cell phone. Last week, our message was the old me. Living in the flesh is the destroyer of my family. This week, our message is the new me. Living by the Holy Spirit renews my family. So if you're listening by radio, if you're watching the live stream, however you're on Facebook, just text somebody right now and say, you got to tune into this, man. Mm-hmm. You might know somebody whose family might need a little bit of renewing. You know what I'm saying? And you don't want to get in their face, so you'll let me get in their face, okay? I'll do it for you. All you have to do is text them or share the Facebook post or whatever. You know, do whatever you need to do. But I give everybody in the church, you can take it right now. You know somebody's family struggling a little bit. Even as we speak, go, you know you want to text. Now I gave you permission. Speaking of people who don't text, Pastor Paul Schooling comes to share with us our scripture reading for today. Here's Pastor Paul.
You mean I have to do this live? I can't just send it in, text it in? Y'all can't be sitting down when we're going to be reading scripture. Amen. So get standing on your feet with me. We're going to read together John 14, verses 14 through 17. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells within you and will be in you. Amen? That just seemed way too short. Let's pray. Oh, Father God, we rejoice in you today. We're so thankful that you've called us here together. We're so thankful that you're in our midst. We're so thankful that you meet us right where we are. Thanks. It is so good to fellowship together. It is so good to be able to worship you, to hear from your word, and to go out into the world and proclaim just exactly who you are. Be with us today. Guide us today. Minister to us today, that we might minister to those that we come in contact with. It's in your holy, mighty, sovereign name we pray. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated, but you may want to stand at some point as Jay and his team lead us. But you have the option right now to sit while Jay and the team lead us another couple songs.
I'll give you all my worship. I'll give you all my praise. You alone I long to worship. You alone are worthy of my praise. I will worship.
Worthy of my praise. I will give Jesus. And that's what the Holy Spirit does, amen? He tells us and shows us who Christ is. Thank you, Lord.
There's nothing worth more that will ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord.
There's nothing worth more.
Nothing worth more that will ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone.
Your presence, Lord.
Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are
standing, and let's move on in. And just for a second,
grab each other's hands in this moment. Lord, today we are very aware how much we need you. We thank you for your presence in this service. Lord, we know that your promise tells us where two or three are gathered, there you are in the midst. We don't need to ask you to be here. You are here, but it makes us feel good that we invite you. Lord, may we sense your work in our hearts today. We give you, Lord, permission. Please change us. Please make us more like Jesus. We bring our city before you today. We thank you for the amazing privilege of bringing New York City to the throne room of God. Lord, please protect our city. Lord, watch over our mayor and those in authority. Keep our first responders, our cops, our firefighters, our EMS safe. We're so concerned, Lord, about the suicide rate among our cops. We pray, Lord, for your work in them through Christ, Cops for Christ, and other ministries, Lord. We pray, Lord, for a great spiritual awakening to happen in our city, Lord. Lord, the economic problems, the racial problems, the social problems, the personal problems can only be solved by you. So please intervene. We pray for our country, Lord, for our president and those in authority. You'll give them wisdom and discretion in moving forward with the things that they're moving forward with. And we pray for our nation, Lord, for a great awakening in our nation, Lord. Begin it, Lord, in our city. And Lord, we pray for Calvary, we pray for our church, that it will be all that you want it to be, that we'll bring glory to you, that Lord, we will continue to reach people for your kingdom. And Lord, for those today who are hurting with various and sundry things in our congregation, Lord, please minister to each family, minister to each individual. Lord, allow us, Lord, or help us to allow you to touch our very hearts. We pray for your work in us, and we pray these things in the name of Jesus, our Savior. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. As you're getting seated, just a reminder, we're in this series, The Modern Family Realigned. And so this week we're talking about the new me, living by means of the Holy Spirit, will result in a renewal of my family. Our premise has been, as we've worked through this, that the family in our culture and around the world is in crisis because the blueprint for the family has been deserted and been replaced with the modern family. So today we continue our realignment study and process, aligning ourselves with what God's Word says regarding the family. Our ideas are often shaped by the media, by our parents, by our culture, by our church, by our friends, but we want it to be shaped by God. We've talked somewhat about the constitution of a family. What is a family? Well, a single person living on their own, that's a family. A single parent and children, that's a family. A shared custody parent, that's a family. A blended family is his, hers, and ours. A married couple, that's a family. A married couple with children, that's a family. Multi-generations living under one roof, that's a family. But as we begin to work through this, I want to begin with a very, very simple question. It's a statement I've used a lot in my life. I've said, if it's not broke, what? Don't fix it. But there's a converse to that. There's another side to that, right? But what if it's broke? If it's broke, how do we fix it? How do we fix families? How do we fix generations of problems in families? How do we solve that? Very interesting. I've read this book. It's a fascinating book. It's called Surprising Secrets of Happy Marriages. It's a very interesting book. But in it, the author has found that 53% of very happy couples agree with this statement: God is at the center of our marriage. That's a large percentage. 7% of struggling couples believe that. 30% of struggling couples disagree with the statement, God is at the center of our marriage. So it seems that for happiness to occur in families, God has to be part and parcel of the equation. Now, I understand happiness isn't everything, but happiness is important. If you don't want to be happy, I'm concerned for you. I think all of us want to experience some level of happiness. It's not all narcissistic. You just, for your own well-being, you'd like to be happy. And how do we find happiness then in this thing called the family? Well, today is Pentecost Sunday. It's a good day to go over what we're going to go over. The church's birthday is Pentecost Sunday. It's when the Holy Spirit came and the church began because the Holy Spirit came. Jesus promised that the Holy Spirit would be sent as another helper. And at Pentecost, he came and birthed the church and did something amazing in believers and continues to do so. The scripture we heard earlier says, Jesus speaking, I will ask the Father and he'll give you another helper to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. There's this great distinction made here. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit was with the believer. In the New Testament, the Holy Spirit is in the believer. Jesus promises not to leave his disciples as orphans in verse 18. He promises to give his disciples another of the same kind comforter. That's what it means. So that points to the fact that the Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is deity. This comforter dwelt with them, but would be in them, and this comforter would be with them forever. The comforter is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot understand. But that word comforter, the ESV correctly translates it as helper. There's the Greek word, parakletos, one called alongside to help and enable. The Holy Spirit is the great helper of us. Now, I understand that the word enabling is not always a good thing. But in the case of you and I, we need the Holy Spirit to enable us to do what we're supposed to do. He is both the helper of the individual Christian and the helper of the Christian family. So every Christian family needs his help. Every individual needs his help. And he's here for us. Now you say, I don't want no help. I'm good. That's not going to work out well for you. If all these chairs were pushed aside and I began to put the chairs one by one back together and five of you came in and said, Pastor, we'll help you. And I said, no, that's good. I got it. What would you think of me? You'd walk away and the five of you would talk, you know, he's kind of stupid. Why? Because we offered him help, and he didn't take it. The Holy Spirit is here to help us. Now, a reason why I might not want your help is because I want it done a certain way. And sometimes the reason we don't want the Holy Spirit's help is because we'd like to do it our way. And he may ask us to do something we don't want to do. Let me assure you, the Holy Spirit will ask you to do what you don't want to do. There are five ways that the Holy Spirit is our helper regarding individually and our families. Number one, the Holy Spirit is the helper of my family through salvation. The Holy Spirit convicts us. Before we come to Christ, the Holy Spirit is active convicting us. John 16, 8 through 11 says, and when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to my Father and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. So the reason why you and I feel so bad about our sin is the Holy Spirit is working in our hearts so that we will see our personal need for Jesus Christ. But then it is the Holy Spirit who converts us. Titus 3, 4 and 5. An amazing verse that may freak you out a little bit because it's a little complicated, but it says, when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to His own mercy. Salvation is an act of mercy by God. You can never earn it. You can never earn it. If you're a Muslim, you have the five pillars of Islam. That doesn't earn salvation. If you're Jewish, you have the Ten Commandments of Moses. That doesn't earn salvation. If you're Catholic, you have the seven sacraments. That doesn't earn salvation. If you're a Baptist, you have church suppers and baptism. That doesn't save you. Makes you bigger, but it doesn't save you. Salvation is an act of mercy from God. Now, note what He does in this act of mercy. By the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, He washes us and we are born again through this ministry of the Holy Spirit. Now, I got saved in the early 70s. And by 1976, Jimmy Carter was running for president. Anybody remember Jimmy Carter? Jimmy Carter from Plains. And what did he talk about? He said he was a born-again Christian. This is part of what this verse means. It means that we're begotten again. We're born again. We're made new because of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will say, or Jesus will say to Nicodemus regarding the Holy Spirit, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, a physical birth and a spiritual birth, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." And then he says, "Marvel not that I said to you, you must be born again." Going from a natural family, a family where Jesus is not Lord and Savior, to a spiritual family because of Jesus Christ and a relationship with Him makes all the difference in the world. All the difference in the world. When I come to Christ, when I give my heart to Christ, the Bible says I am a new creation. And everyone in my family is a new creation who accepts Christ. If you've not placed your faith in Christ and Christ alone for your salvation, today I would just say to you, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved and your house. Secondly, the Holy Spirit is the helper of my family through identification. This is so powerful. It's absolutely amazing. How many of you grew up in perfect homes? Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Our families are dysfunctional, true or false? True. Some of them are more dysfunctional than others, but they're dysfunctional. It's a problem. It's a difficulty that we have. How many of us have perfect fathers? Whoa. Wouldn't it be great if we had a perfect father? Note here that Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, has adopted us into the family. It's a ministry of the Holy Spirit. It says, "For all of you are led by the Spirit of God." All of you who are led by the Spirit of God are the what? Sons of God. "For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry," what? "Abba, Father." We have a personal relationship with God as our Father. We have a perfect model for how a family ought to operate with God as our Father. And we can cry out to Him and say, "I don't know how to do this." And He doesn't say, "What are you, an idiot?" He knows. The Spirit also gives us assurance. Romans 8, 16 and 17 said, "And the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we're the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with Him in order that we may also be glorified with Him." But we have this amazing assurance that we are His. So if times get rocky as a family, well, what do we know? We know that no matter what happens, in the end, we still are His. If our family blows up, it's not the end of the world because we still have Him, and more importantly, He has us. The Holy Spirit puts us into God's family and gives us that assurance that we are His. In this, the Spirit takes away the biggest issues we face and allows us to rest in God. Take a big breath now. You don't have to perform for God. You don't have to be better for God. He has already accepted you. He has already placed you in His family. You are His. You can relax. But don't get too comfortable. Because the Holy Spirit is the helper of my family through transformation. It is the work of the Holy Spirit to produce change in us. Now, I have had the privilege of being here 30 years. Some of you folks, I married. So this is what happens. Around the seven-year marker, people come to me. They used to call it the seven-year itch. It's not an itch thing. It's something different. Usually the wife will come in first. Yeah, you knew that was happening. And she'll say, you know, I thought he would change. It's been 7 years. The man still leaves his sock everywhere. What is wrong? I call it, they're now in the appreciating differences stage. Because here's the sad truth. You can't change anybody. If you go into marriage hoping you will change them, you can't do it. You can't even change your kids. Whoa, Ben, you got a t-shirt that says that, don't you? I tried to change my kids and it didn't work. Yeah, several of you got t-shirts just like that. I can't change people I'm mentoring. Real change can only happen when God changes us. That's why it says, 2 Corinthians 3:17-18, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord, there is freedom. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another, for this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. So it is the Spirit of God who changes people. It is the Spirit of God. If you try and change someone, they're not going to change just because you're trying to change them. And then they're not going to be real friendly toward you, because who wants to be changed by someone else? But God changes people. It is the fruit of the Spirit that is the product of change in us. Galatians 5:22-24 says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such thing there is no law. And those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Because of the Holy Spirit, each member of the family can experience authentic change. We're not stuck as we are and who we are, but through His ministry, we can be who we were made to be. Our relationships are positively affected by our change. Most family problems are not family system problems. What I mean by that is, folks will come to me and say, well, this doesn't happen, this doesn't happen, this doesn't happen, this doesn't happen. So we create a system. Well, then on Tuesday night, she'll have a meeting, and everyone will put it on the table, and after it's put on the table, everyone will be good. What happens is Tuesday night comes and it's put on a table and it is not kumbaya, it's bye-bye. You know what I'm saying? Those family systems are not the solution to family issues. The solution to family issues is people being changed by God. Amen. I'm not saying it's wrong to go to a family therapist or anything like that. I'm just saying the major problem that people have is people are sinners and need to be transformed into the image of Christ. That's how it works. That's how it works best. And then the Holy Spirit is the helper of my family through something I call collaboration. I'm not alone at working all of this out. The Holy Spirit is part of the process in a Christian family. It is the Holy Spirit who enables us to live the Christian life. The Christian life is a supernatural life. It was never meant to be lived in my own strength, my own might, my own power. Doesn't work that way. Try as hard as you want, you will come to the end of your rope. You'll say, I can't do this anymore. I can't make this happen anymore. I'm tired. I'm worn out. I'm frustrated. I'm not experienced. This is not working. The Holy Spirit was sent so that you and I would have the power to live the Christian life. Ephesians 3:16 says that according to the riches of His glory, He may grant you to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in your inner being. When you are at the end of your rope, He is there. In fact, before you got to the end of your rope, you would have been smart to get strength from Him. Maybe you wouldn't be so far down on the vine. And the Holy Spirit is the one who enables us to live victoriously. 1 John 4:4 says, "Little children, you are from God and have overcome them." And then it says this, "For He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world." Who is in us? The Holy Spirit of God. He is greater than any challenge that we might face. He is there to see us through. I thought, and sometimes I just don't think correctly, that after I got my kids through their teenage years, that it was going to be easy. I could just mail it in. You know what I'm saying? But then, you know, you have parents. You have grandparents. They face life challenges. That's difficult. And your kids don't always make the right decisions even when they're older. And then you have less say than you had before. That just seems so unfair. Like, you should be able to have more say, right? But it doesn't work that way. It doesn't. So life gets harder. What do you do? Where do you get the strength to do what you're supposed to do? Where do you get the strength for things like persevering in it? Where do you get the strength for, I have to tell someone something they don't want to hear? Where do you get the strength for, I'm not going to enable them anymore? Where do you get the strength to do all of that? God gave us the what? Holy Spirit. The circumstances and situations we face as families. How many of you know as you get older, somebody's going to get sick? As we face these situations, as families, they're not things that we should deal with in our own strength. The Holy Spirit comes along side of us and strengthens us for whatever the world, the flesh, and the devil throw our way. The Christian family should be a victorious family. It should win some, if not all, because greater is He who is in you than he who is in the world. Fifthly, the Holy Spirit is the helper of my family through what? Illumination. Salvation, identification, transformation. What's next? Collaboration, and then here, illumination. It's a big word. But what I mean is the Holy Spirit helps us to understand things. Helps us to understand things. Guys, I've got good news. The Holy Spirit understands the woman that you're living with way better than you do. And maybe He can give you a little insight. Ladies, I've got some help for you here. The Holy Spirit understands your kids. There's no hope you ever understand the man in your life. Don't even think about it. That's just not, it's not even going to work. But the Holy Spirit understands your kids better than you do. You can't figure out how all the relationships are working and everything with everybody. The Holy Spirit understands that. It is through the Spirit we understand the things given to us by God. 1 Corinthians 2:12 says, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God." It is through the Holy Spirit we discern spiritual truths. And we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him. He's not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. God has given us this amazing book, this revelation, His scriptures, and God helps us to understand it and apply it in our family situations because of the ministry of the Holy Spirit in us. So, we are not wise enough to make the correct decisions for our family, whatever our family looks like. Raise your right hand and repeat after me. I'm not smart enough to do the right thing for my family. What are you crazy? You raised it? Don't do everything I tell you to do. But you're not smart enough. We need the Spirit's help to become wise and make spiritually insightful and fulfilling decisions. I know what you're thinking right now. You didn't know I was a prophet, did you? You're saying to yourself, Pastor Dave, I think what you're saying sounds true, but here's the thing. It's not happening for me. It's not working for me inside of me. What's wrong? I'm glad you asked that question, unsolicited. I'm going to close with three very simple questions regarding the Holy Spirit and me. And you. Number one, have I responded to the Spirit's conviction for salvation? In Acts chapter 2, that moment where the church is birthed, Peter preaches this amazing sermon at Pentecost. And it says what? Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Peter then told them how to experience God's salvation. Have you experienced God's salvation? I'm not saying, do you go to church? I'm not saying, are you religious? I'm saying, has Jesus Christ come into your life and changed you? Have you given your heart to Christ and experienced the salvation that he has for you? Because if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is past. All things become new. Until that happens, your family will not be renewed. All you can do is transform, or you can, all you can do is reform things. You can't transform things. The root problem all of us have is we need to become new people. And Jesus makes us new. John 1, 12 and 13 says, all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the what? Children of God. Who were born not of blood. It's not a family thing. Just because your parents were Christians, it doesn't make you a Christian. Nor of the will of man. You can't simply say, you know what? I'm a Christian now. I have to come God's way. Nor of the will of man, but of God. It is the issue of conversion. Have you been born again? Has Jesus changed you? This is an Old Testament verse with a New Testament concept. It explains to us salvation from the Old Testament. It says, I'll give you what? A new heart and a new spirit I will put within you. I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. I'm going to make you different. Some of you today, for you to come to church is like, oh my goodness, please. It's the hardest thing I had to do. It's exhausting. I had to go to church. For some of us here, reading the Bible is that way. Praying is that way. You know why? Either you don't have a new heart, or you're living as if you don't have a new heart. You have so messed things up that you don't have the right desires anymore. Jesus wants to give us a new heart. And it begins by us giving our heart to him. Second question, am I walking in the Spirit to have victory over the old me? Galatians 5:16 says, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Galatians 5:17 says it this way, for the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh, for these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. So I got this battle going on with my flesh and my spirit. If I keep walking in the Spirit, if I keep cultivating the right spiritual appetites, the Spirit will win. If I cultivate the other appetites, guess what? The flesh will win, and the old man will destroy your family. Beyond that, Romans 8:8 says, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. It also tells us in Psalm 37, verse 4, delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll give you the what? The eyes of your heart. You go, oh man, Shazam, this is awesome. I can get anything I want from God if I just pretend I'm delighting in him. No, 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 no. What will happen is if you delight in the Lord, your desires will change. Now, I've written a very lengthy piece on this at nycshepherd.com called Bon Appetit, you know, happy eating. It's at nycshepherd.com. It's up right now if you want something for it. But what we're talking about is the issue of cultivation. Now, I don't do a lot of things right. Honestly, I don't. I struggle all the time. My wife is a much better Christian than I could ever dream of being. So probably you should ask her for advice on this. But a bunch of years back, you know, everybody was watching movies, everybody telling you how good a movie is or whatever. Everyone said to me, you've got to see Top Gun. You've got to see it. Kelly McGinnis and Tom Cruise, it's awesome. You got to see the movie, man. So they used to have, yeah, I know. So they used to have this place called Blockbuster. So I went to Blockbuster, and I spent $2.99 and got me Top Gun. I put Top Gun in, sat back, because you got to see this. Within the first 5 minutes of the movie, I had never personally heard that much cussing. And I was familiar with the F-bomb, but I didn't know it was thrown all the time in the first 5 minutes. So after about 5 minutes, I pushed the eject button, I took the movie out, I put it back, and I drove it back to Blockbuster. Why? Because I don't need to hear that. Not because I'm holy, but because if I hear that, I'm going to start speaking that way. I'm going to start speaking in those tongues, and I don't want to be speaking in those tongues. Because you're not going to have an interpreter. You say, Pastor Dave, you're a prude. No, I'm not a prude. I just know I cannot put myself in positions where the flesh is just so there that it's going to influence me. Honestly, it's the same with people. If I'm with a person who's just angry, ugly all the time, I will try and minister to them, but I am not going to stand there and let that mess with my head. I'm just not going to do it. I'll do my best to help the individual. Don't misunderstand me. But I'm not going to let that infiltrate me. That's the same with television programs. The same with music. It's the same with the environment. I want to walk in the Spirit so that I don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. If I put myself in the situation where I'm cultivating the lust of the flesh, I'm going to live like that. And we know how that ends up. Romans 8, 12, and 13 says, so then, brothers, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you will put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Third question. Am I filled with the Spirit to have the power for Christian living? Ephesians 5:18 says, and do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be what? Filled with the Spirit. This verse is so simple. I don't want you to get all hung up on the concept of not getting drunk with wine, not because I'm encouraging getting drunk, but what he's saying here is that the manifestation of the flesh comes out when a person is drunk. So don't be controlled by something that's going to produce the flesh, but be controlled by who? Spirit of God. The Spirit of God. The issue is of control. The best I can determine the requirements for being filled with the Holy Spirit. And remember this, please. When you become a follower of Christ, the Holy Spirit comes into your life. You get the Holy Spirit the moment you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Part of that process, he regenerates you, he makes you new, and he indwells you. But then the issue of control sets in. Is the Holy Spirit going to control me? Who's going to control me? I think the first condition is that I must deal with the independence issue. He must fill me. And he's not going to do it if I'm not dependent. There needs to be a humbling. James 4, 6 and 10 says, but he says, he gives more grace. Therefore, it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to who? Humble. It says further, humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. But God will be gracious to me. He will want to give me a gift. He will be inclined to me as I am humble. Second, I need to deal with the quenching or grieving issues. Do not be drunk with wine. I must confess and forsake a life dominated by the flesh. It's the issue of cleansing. We read in Ephesians 4, 30 and 32. We read this last week. It says, don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God. How do you grieve the Holy Spirit of God? Bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, slander. Those will be put away from you along with all malice. So, in the morning I get up. I pray, God, I want to be filled with your Spirit, controlled by you today. Then I begin to drive myself to wherever I'm going, and somebody cuts me off. Maybe that day I don't deal with it so well. What happens regarding the power of the Holy Spirit in me, being filled with Spirit? I've got to stop. I've got to confess where I have gone, and I need to get back on track so that the Holy Spirit can fill me and work through me the rest of that day. Now you say, Pastor Dave, all I would be doing all day is stopping and doing that. Exactly. That's what you need to do all day. Stop and do that. Because you and I need the Holy Spirit's power in our life. And finally, I need to deal with the yielding issues. Submitting. Be filled with the Spirit. I must be controlled by God's Spirit. Where are your limits? What I mean by that is, what can God tell you to do that you won't do? You already know what it is, right? You need to let that go. You need to let that go. Colossians 3, 16 and 17 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you how? Richly. And then it says, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom and singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your heart to the God. This is the same product as being filled with the Holy Spirit. Why? Because being filled with the Holy Spirit means I am going to yield myself to what the Word of God says. I am surrendering to God and what God says through His Word. Not that complex. It's just hard for us to do. At my salvation, I got all of the Holy Spirit that I'm going to get. I don't need more of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit needs more of me. I need to surrender to Him. I'm going to close with this. There are a series of mandates for optimizing my family, to making my family all that God would have it to be. When you read those optimization mandates, you might go, because they seem incredibly hard to do. Let me illustrate. Whoops, sorry. Ephesians 5:21.
God in Our City is an extension of the ministry of Pastor Dave Watson and Calvary Chapel on Staten Island. For more information about Calvary Chapel, please visit their website at calvarychapelsi.org. That's calvarychapelsi.org. Or call the church office at 718-720-5390. That's 718-720-5390. To contact Pastor Dave, please email him at nycshepherd@gmail.com. That's nycshepherd@gmail.com. Pastor Dave would love to hear from you. Also, be sure to check out his blog at nycshepherd.com. That's nycshepherd.com. To receive a free copy of today's message, please call 718-720-5394. That's 718-720-5394. Thanks for joining us, and be sure to tune in next week at this same time for another edition of God in Our City.